Turn with me in your Bibles to the second book of Timothy. Paul writing to Timothy, chapter 1. You'll look briefly at two verses there. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Father, we ask this morning that you would direct our hearts to that person of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all Bible teaching and doctrine point to. He is the substance of all truth. He's the personification of truth. In him was truth. He is the truth. So, Father, we pray that as we look at this scripture and meditate a little bit upon it this morning, may the lessons be anchored in our hearts. For your glory, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, the time is late in Paul's life. He is in prison in Rome. Nero is on the throne as emperor. Paul will not get out of prison, but he will suffer martyrdom. According to tradition, he was beheaded at Rome. He's writing now to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read that he asked him to stay in Ephesus. Chapter 1, verse 3, I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. The work in Ephesus started out very, very well, but there was a danger there. And Paul sent the best man he had to Ephesus to anchor the saints in the truth. Now, sometime later, he's writing to Timothy to encourage him in his work there at Ephesus. He says there, hold fast, Timothy, the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me. Hold fast, a pattern. It seems that the statement that Paul makes there, that sound words or doctrine has a pattern to it. A pattern that can only be detected by an obedient heart. The Lord said, you will know the truth will make you free. But he says, if you are willing to do his will, then you will know of the doctrine, whether it's true or not. You'll know that. Are you willing? Have a willing heart. An obedient heart is a prerequisite to understanding the truth of God. You know, a lot of people argue about doctrine and different things. Their problem is not intellectual, it's moral. It's not obeying. Not willing to obey the Lord, you get into trouble morally. And we'll see that especially today. But his admonition to Timothy is that he would hold fast the sound of or the pattern of sound words. Now the word hold fast struck a note in my memory. When I was very young, I was still in my teens when I joined the Canadian Army there, and I was requested when I enrolled in the Army to be put into the Army Engineers. I was interested in engineering things. And there at the School of Military Engineering in Chilliwack, we learned a lot of things. One of them was how to make a ground anchor, anchoring something in the ground, not in the ocean. We know a ship has an anchor that holds that ship in place regardless of the tides or the winds or the waves. It will hold it. It'll hold it fast. But on land, sometimes you need an anchor, a temporary anchor of some kind. For example, crossing a river. The first thing you need to do to get material and men across a river is you have to get a cable from one side to the other, either a heavy rope or a cable. And those cables or ropes then become the lifeline for the construction, for everything else, for transporting back and forth, and for enlarging your works on either side. But in order to do that, you need to anchor that cable on either side. And there was an ingenious, ancient, very ancient military way of doing that. Even though usually on riverbanks, they're very soft material. How do you put an anchor in while you're being under fire from the enemy, for example? You have to do it quickly. You might have to do it at night. So, but what they solved that many years ago, probably as far back as the Roman times, or maybe the Babylonian times, I don't know. This is how they did it. But they would take a series of stakes and of various sizes, depending on the strength you wanted, and they would drive them in the ground at a slight angle. You had your river here, the crossing, so you drove those stakes in like this. And you could do one row, you could do two rows, you could do three rows or four, didn't matter, you could increase it. And as you drove those stakes in, then you took the wire or rope and you tied the top of the first stake to the base of the second. And then the top of the second one down to the base of the third, and so on. And that became, and then you could put a log in front, tie your cable to that, and it can hold a tremendous amount of force. And you can put that in very, very quickly. A couple of men can pound those stakes in. Within an hour, you can have your holdfast set up for an anchor that wouldn't be pulled out, even in very soft or sandy material. It's amazing the strength of that. That was a holdfast. Now, that's what Paul is saying here. Hold it fast so something won't slip under strain. What is it? He says, hold fast those patterns of sound words. The pattern then, what he said, which you have heard from me. Paul had obviously given some verbal instructions to Timothy. What were those instructions? Well, we're not detailed. It's too bad that we don't have them written down for us. But they would be like a creed, or as we put it in our website, things that we believe. The virgin birth, the pre-existence of Christ, the virgin birth, the fact that he was made flesh, that he lived a sinless life, that his death upon the cross was for us. It was a vicarious death for others, not for himself, that he rose bodily from the grave, that he is a coming again. Those are the pattern of sound words. Now, if there's a break in any one of them, that holdfast is weakened, is it not? That's what Paul said. I've given you a review of doctrine, of what the important elements of doctrine, that pattern of sound, solid words. Now he says, you've heard it from me. Paul's life, the only other place where we find this word used is in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Interestingly, it's Paul himself, again, who uses the word. Verse 16. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show as a law all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe in him. A pattern. So not only is the doctrine a pattern, but the man, the apostle, the preacher, the teacher, his life must also be a pattern. And that's what he in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he admonishes Timothy to do the same. He says, take heed to yourself, first of all, be a pattern. And then to the doctrine, the pattern of sound words, the pattern of person and the pattern of doctrine. Hold fast, he says, those things. Now, holding fast, of course, suggests that someone or something might be able to try and take the truth away, or you could let it slip for some reason by not paying attention. And that's why I think Paul admonishes him, because there was a tremendous amount of stress in Asia on Timothy. He had been sent there because there was a danger of that church slipping away in Asia. Now, Asia, of course, we talk about it there. That's that Asia, what we used to call Asia Minor. A portion of Turkey was where Ephesus was. Now, there are three pairs of men that Paul uses as examples of those who let the truth slip away. And he gives them to us in this same epistle, his last epistle. Verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. All those in Asia have turned away from me. That's the winds of difficulty that was facing Timothy there. That to hold fast, there were many that were turning against Paul. What does it mean? They turned against Paul. These are men that were morally weak. They had turned away from Paul because of what Paul taught. And what Paul taught landed him in prison and imminently death. It was hard to follow the example of Paul. There was growing opposition in the Roman world on Christians. They were burning them at the stake. They were using them as entertainment in the forum, in the Colosseum. They were persecuted everywhere. They lost their livelihoods, lost their homes. They lost their lives. It was hard to be a Christian. And these men, they had turned away from Paul. I think they began to compromise. They were weak. They were ashamed. Look at verse 8 of that same chapter. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God who saved us and called us. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and me, his prisoner. They were ashamed. But then in verse 16, we read that there was one man who was not ashamed. It's an awful thing to get your name in Scripture and have it associated with such a shameful action as turning away. And these two men that are mentioned, Phagellus and Hermogenes, that are mentioned there, they were probably ringleaders of this, saying it's better to compromise so we can avoid direct opposition to the Romans. Perhaps, you know, you could go and attend the feast day, but in your heart, you can still worship Jesus. You know, that kind of compromising attitude? No, he says, Paul says, hold fast, hold it fast. But Onesiphorus, here's another man. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. And he was not ashamed of my chain, nor was he ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. It sounds like he had maybe had some business in Rome. It says there that when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously. He arrived in Rome. It doesn't say that he went there specifically to see Paul, but when he did on his business, whatever it was, he made sure he went to see the Lord's apostle. May the Lord bless him. And he refreshed Paul at the exposure of his life. So here we have these two men. First of all, they did not hold fast the sound of words. They let them slip in order to compromise. They slipped back. Their cable would not hold. Now, it's interesting that the second group. Let's turn it over to chapter 2, verse 17. Another two men that are mentioned here. And verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase no to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Here we have two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus. If Philogenes Phagellus and Hermogenes, if they were ashamed of the truth, here we have Hymenaeus and Philetus. I'm sorry, you know, these Latin names are probably a thorn in Mandarin speakers' side, just as they are in English. Although we're closer to Latin than you are, because much of our language comes from Latin. However, these names are very difficult, hard names to pronounce and understand. But Phagellus and Hermogenes, they were ashamed of the truth. Hymenaeus and Philetus, they erred concerning the truth. Remember the holdfast? They let slip one of those stakes. And as a result, whatever that cable was holding pulled into the river. It was lost. The battle was defeated before even engaged the enemy. They said that the resurrection had already passed. Now, what that means exactly, we're not sure. Did it mean that Christians, when that were living during Christ's time, or during the apostles' time or whatever, that somehow their bodily resurrection ended and now it's just sort of a soul resurrection, that they won't receive their bodies in heaven. We're not sure what it was, but it threatened to overthrow the faith of many. They didn't hold on to the pattern of sound words. And it was threatening to overthrow the faith of many. So they erred concerning the truth. Then we have over in chapter 3. Again, in verse 8. We read now as Jannes and Jambres. Now these are easier. These are Egyptian names, so it's a little easier. They resisted Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also. These men, they resisted the truth. The first pair, they were ashamed of the truth. The second pair, they erred concerning the truth. But these men, they didn't even have the truth, and they resisted what little truth was presented to them. Now, Jannes and Jambres, they were two of the magicians, probably the chief sorcerers of Pharaoh from Egypt. Now, go back for a moment to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, verse 11. There we read that Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard. And they're mentioned a couple of more times a little further on. These magicians. They saw, and later they was demonstrated that only God could perform these kind of miracles in Egypt. Yet they, as much as they could, they resisted what they saw with their own eyes, that God was really among the children of Israel and their servants, Moses and Aaron. And they resisted the truth. Now, in the world today, we're going to have the same kind of thing. Those that are ashamed of the truth. Are you ashamed of the truth? This is the one that gets that points to me. Have you ever been ashamed of the truth? When you should have spoken up and said a word and you are silent? That you let those words slip away. Hold fast those sound. I can think of times when I have. I think we're more guilty of not saying what we should say than saying things that we shouldn't. Let's not compromise that way. And then arguing about things that are not important, like these next two men, they erred concerning the truth. It was a moral problem. In every case, it's a moral problem. It's not an intellectual problem. It isn't that we don't understand the truth. We have the pattern of sound words. Hold fast, he said. And hold them in faith, he says, and love, which are in Christ Jesus. In conclusion, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, let no one take your crown. There's a reward for those that do hold fast. For a soldier, the reward is getting the materials necessary for the victory to the other side of that river. And then there's victory. Now, what are they talking? What does he say here that they should hold fast what you have? Well, if we read that, I think in verse 8, he says, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door. Here's an opportunity. For you have little strength. Didn't say you need a lot of strength. Just a little strength is all you need. You have kept my word. There it is, pattern of sound words. You've kept my word. That's going to carry you through in the day of battle. And you have not denied my name. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. So whatever you have, you may not have the depth or the breadth or the completeness, but what you have, hold fast. God will give you more. He'll give you what you need when you need it to overcome, and that no one then will take your crown. There's a crown. Not just to the great ones, no. The little us, little ones too. There's crowns to be given out if we hold fast what we have. May the Lord help each one of us. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are so generous. You not only give us the material to cross those rivers, you give us the wisdom how to use it. And Lord, you supply the power. Lord, we bless you. You're going to give us a crown. But those crowns, Lord, we're going to throw at your feet because you are the worthy one. We'll have something to give back to you, our crown, yes. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we ask each of us, for each of us today, Lord, that we might be faithful to our Lord. Help us, Lord, with little weakness, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of the apostles' doctrine. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.